I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, utter bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York City. Wah. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friends that come around, flat to fight a party, or rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from rainy New York? All right, 855-212-4CBS. That's the number. So we got a lot going on. Joe Giglio will join us. He's in Philly at WIP, W-I-P. He used to be on here, right? I think he was on here for a while.
The Fan in New York.
Yeah. The Fan, that's right. I know Joe. There you go. Joe Giglio on tonight at 10:40 this very hour in the East Coast. 7:40 West. Are you feeling all right? Yeah. The Sixers acquire Tobias Harris late night, last night, from the Clippers for 2 first-round picks. Other minor players were swapped both ways as well. Does this make the Sixers the team to beat in the East? We'll talk to Joe about that. Other NBA trades as the deadline approaches tomorrow afternoon at 3. Otto Porter to the Bulls from the Wizards for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. The Pistons send Stanley Johnson to the Bucks for Thon Maker, and the Suns send Ryan Anderson to the Heat for Wayne Ellington and Tyler Johnson. They finally give up on in Miami. So we'll talk about all the NBA news. The Lakers are giving up basically on the AD trade possibilities by tomorrow. It's just not going to happen, allegedly. So that's that. The Rockets get Iman Shumpert in a 3-team deal tonight. Is that correct? Kings send Iman Shumpert to the Rockets in a 3-team trade with the Cavs. The Rockets will send guard Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a 2019 lottery protected first round pick to the Cavs for the Rockets getting Iman Shumpert. There you go.
I think so, I saw that after that deal, the Cavaliers now have like 2 first-round picks and 6 second-round picks in the draft.
The Cavaliers are going to send Alec Burks to the Kings and guards Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin to the Rockets. Stauskas and Baldwin were acquired in a deal with Portland on Sunday that sent Rodney Hood to the Blazers. In Cleveland's 4th in-season trade, the Cavs are now gathered 2 first-round and 6 second-round picks. Is that what you're talking about? Burks goes back to the Western Conference where he spent the first 8 years of his career with the Jazz, and people still have never heard of him. Carver, hi.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
You're one of them. The Giants are reportedly making a late push to sign Bryce Harper after meeting with him this week in Vegas. He was in Sin City.
This is what we talked about the other night. Now that the price, you would have to think, has come down a little bit because it's been so long, you're going to start to get teams that maybe weren't involved at the beginning are now going to check in and think, well, maybe we can do this now since the price is a little bit lower.
Right. Could you see him playing for the Giants?
I absolutely could.
I do.
Couldn't you just see him shooting balls out there in the McCovey Cove? Like,
all day.
All day, right? I think that would actually be a good spot for him.
I think he'd fall in love with it, and it's an hour from Vegas.
Right.
I mean, 1-hour flight.
Close to home. Still a big market, big city.
And then when they finally get a baseball team in Las Vegas, he can move home and be the face of the franchise.
Right.
You think that's going to happen, right?
I believe that Vegas will sometime in the future get a Major League Baseball franchise.
Baseball and its players are discussing rule changes that could alter the game, including a 3-batter minimum for relief pitchers, a universal DH, and a single trade deadline before the All-Star break. Do some of the proposed changes make sense for baseball? Have you seen these rule changes?
I have seen them.
And what do you think of them?
I actually like the 3-batter relief pitcher thing.
I like it.
I think it's a little tiresome now. Guys,
20-second pitch clock.
Yes. Is that? I thought I heard today that that could be only when there's no one on base. Is that?
I don't know. It just says 20-second pitch clock. Yeah. The expansion of rosters to 26 with a 12-pitcher max. Draft advantages for winning teams. Penalties for losers. Studied a lowered amount and a rule that would allow 2-sport amateurs to sign major league contracts.
Is this going to be like the Oakland A rule pretty much? Is this for Kyler Murray? Is that what that's all about?
The Kyler Murray rule?
One guy will change it for everybody? Yeah. Is that pretty much what we're going to do?
I think.
I like the 3-batter minimum. I think that's really good. I think it adds a little bit more strategy than just going in and out with guys. And I don't think the DH thing will actually happen. But I do hope it does because I'm tired of watching these pitchers hit. I'm sick of it.
So the 3-batter minimum for pitchers would eliminate a job created by modern bullpen use, the 1-out left-handed reliever, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to put guys in your bullpen that can actually get multiple batters out, not this whole guy throws 3 pitches and he's out of the game thing.
The rule would apply to all pitchers except in instances in which pitchers finish an inning or are injured. What does that mean?
That means if there's 2 outs in an inning and a guy gets the 3rd out,
right,
he doesn't have to start the next inning. It's for if a guy comes in an inning, he's got to either finish the inning or face 3 batters.
So the union did not oppose it. They preferred the implementation to be delayed until 2020 rather than this year. The other bid to deal with the pace of play was the enactment of a 20-second pitch clock. Numerous players have spoken out against it. And they don't care what anybody thinks. In the discussions, the possibility of the clock being turned off when runners are on base was raised. Is that what you were talking about?
Right.
And what do you think of the universal DH?
I've been wanting the DH everywhere for years now. I'm tired of the pitchers hitting. I hate – maybe it's because I root for an American League team. I despise when we play these NL teams and I got to watch my pitchers who don't know what they're doing and never do
it.
Get injured on the base pass. I get it. Some of these guys, it's fun when Mad Bum rips one.
Matsui got injured running.
Right. Chin-Ming Wong. There's a bunch of guys in the past with the Yankees who have gotten hurt running the bases. What's the point? Just get the DH in there. Honestly, a team like the Mets this year, I think it would help them if they had a DH. They've got so many guys they don't – you know, Robbie Cano, that deal actually is a lot better if the Mets can use a DH 2 years from now or 3 years from now. It's a better deal for them.
I just wanted to let you know that with the cable out, our satellite dish out, that we have no TV. I'm watching ESPN Plus, actually, and have on a G League game. I've reached a new low in my life. For all on a bench.com, once again, hit the biggest game just like Philly last year. New England this year to win outright and the spread. Tons of props hit. Now it's hoops and hockey time. Get the best picks. PharrellOnTheBench.com has them. NBA, college rack, NHL, fights, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. Here's the deal. Tomorrow, episode 141 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. 6 days a week, it's a sports betting show, a half hour, and I think you'll dig it. Subscribe free for the Pharrell. Check out. Ooh. Follow me on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Mafia, what's the, did you say Harrison Barnes went to the Sacramento Kings? There you go.
Yes,
I just saw that whole thing right there. You're busted. I just saw all of that.
Of course, the glass wall. What else am I supposed to do?
What are you going to do?
He went to they traded Justin Jackson and one other player for him. And I think
That kid Jackson.
Zach Randolph.
So he went to Dallas?
Yeah, Justin Jackson, Zach Randolph to Dallas for Harrison Barnes.
What do you think of that deal? Harrison Barnes, pretty good player. Don't you think he'll make that? I mean, they are loaded, that team now.
He's a good veteran for them. A guy that could score and help them, you know, spin the playoffs before. I don't know. Justin Jackson's a good young talent, though. I'm surprised they gave up on him.
He's a good young talent for sure, but you got to get a guy like Barnes. I mean, the guy can fill it up. And they already got a bunch of guys that are really fast transition-type basketball players. They run and gun, that team. I like them. I like watching the Sac Kings. I think they actually, believe it or not, there's like, whatever, 29 games or something left, whatever it is. And I told you this last night. They actually have already met last year's numbers. So they have as many wins. They still got a lot of season left to have like one of their best seasons in years. They're a good team on the up for sure. I think they are.
Yeah, them and the Nets are the two teams in the NBA this year that have already, I believe, passed their win total from last year. So,
and the Nets had a big win tonight over the Nuggets.
They did. That's a nice win for the Nets. I'm all for teams like the Nets and Sacramento, you know, mattering and getting better.
Right.
Because as I always complain about, I'm tired of the same two or three teams being what matters in the NBA. Not that these teams will matter, but at least they're, for their fan bases, becoming a little bit more significant, I guess you could say.
Right. I like the Kings. Like Sacramento. Good town. Good sandwiches.
See that? It's a great town with very delicious sandwiches that I remember vividly eating there. I've been there and done shows there and enjoyed myself immensely, particularly when I was eating sandwiches. I got to tell you that. So the trades just keep happening. Do you think that tomorrow's going to be some like big trade? Like there's going to be all kinds of action tomorrow? Do you think anything will matter?
I don't know. I feel like we've already gotten, whether it's today with Harris and Otto Porter, the Otto Porter thing kind of came out of nowhere. We were talking last night.
No one thought they were dealing
with him. Are the Wizards going to kind of rip this thing down and get rid of their pieces?
After Wall's injury.
Right. And it looks like maybe if they traded Porter tonight, which they did, is there a chance that
they owed him a lot of money?
They owe Beal a lot of money, too. Is there a chance maybe Beal by tomorrow afternoon could go? But I think with the Porzingis deal and the Harris deal, I don't know. Davis ain't getting – AD ain't getting dealt, so I don't know where the big move is tomorrow.
So we're still waiting on – everyone's saying Gasol's out of there. So, I mean, that's supposed to be a done deal with Charlotte, right? We still haven't locked that one up. That's got to happen. There's still some other ones that maybe, you know, like you said, if Beal is – possibly on the block, or if they're going to get rid of Trevor Ariza now in Washington. There's some names out there that have been talked about that people feel we're definitely going to be on the move that we haven't seen moved yet. So
aren't the Jazz still trying to get Conley from the Memphis?
Yeah, they
also?
Are. They are. And that would be – I think he'd fit on that team nicely.
That would be a major deal.
Porter is averaging 12 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. And then I think that's what I had tonight. 12, 5, and 2 with a block shot, but I had 2 blocks. Mafia, you had 2 blocks, too. We got screwed. He's making $26 million this season and is owed $27.2 million next season with a player option for 2021. He's averaging 12. I mean, does that make sense to anybody that if you're averaging 12 points, that you should be making $27.5 million? I mean, 12 points. Christ, I can do that. Should I see if I could look into a 10-day deal, Carver High? Because I think I could score 12, and I'll live with 27 mil. I'll cut you in a couple mil.
I'll take a few.
You could be my agent. What do you think we should name our, you know, PR agency? You know, you got like Clutch Sports. What do you think we should call it, Mafia? Bench Sports? Because I'd be riding the pines in the NBA. But we could get clients that all ride the pines that still make $27.5 million because they can only score 12 points a game that are overpaid. We get all those players like Otto Porter, who sucks.
Right, I'll take 10% of $1.7 million or $10 million or $5 million.
Have you ever thought Otto Porter was anything but a decent college player at Georgetown?
I thought a couple of years ago he was going to make a big jump at Washington. He started coming along. He started being like one of their third piece there. He was the third leading scorer. He was, you know, the great player for them, very athletic, making things happen, and just hasn't taken that next step. I think that's why he had that deal. They thought that he was going to be that third piece, that, you know, the third in line for scoring. He was going to be the one that kind of took over when Beal and Wall were on the bench and resting. Like, you leave him in there with the
right
second team and lead them. He just hasn't taken that.
So, and then what was that guy's name? Oubre? Didn't they deal him too? They already dealt him. So, and this is like a while ago they dealt him.
All their depth. All they got left is Ariza and Beal, really.
Right. The he's on the Suns now, and I think they should trade Ariza to the Lakers
tomorrow.
I think
they traded him in the Ariza deal.
Oh, that's right. The trade will provide him with savings. Their tax bill for the season will drop from $8.9 million to $3.3 million. The team will be $2.3 million below the tax threshold. They'll have $89.5 million in guaranteed contracts, a savings of $28 million for 2019-2020. Jabari Parker's $20 million team option needs to be exercised by June 29th. And you know they won't do that, right? They're going to get rid of him too, because hasn't he become like kind of, you know, flubbery and average at best? Is he not like, whatever happened to Jabari Parker? Remember he blew out all his knees and everything and then he came back. Did you think he was decent when he played in Milwaukee at all? Did you think he was good?
He had a couple decent years, but, you know, they really wanted rid of him this year. He went on to Chicago, and then Chicago, he's barely been there.
He's worthless.
And they won't rid of him, so
do you think
he tells you.
Do you think he's chunky?
He looks not the player
like,
he was.
He just looks fat to me, like
he's
not in
shape.
He's
a lot more mass since he, you know, wasn't able to run around and be free and athletic like he was in college. That caught up to him big time.
I mean, honestly, and Bobby Portis, I mean, he doesn't matter either. These are like contracts. That's all they're doing.
There's
and then
been a lot of little ones like that. The Miami, the Phoenix one.
And then they'll be able to dump him. They don't have to pick up his option. And then they don't pay, oh, they're not giving him $20 million. Jabari Parker's not worth $2 million.
Nope.
I mean, let's face facts, right? I mean, is that not just the gist of it?
That seems to be like 75% of the deals we saw today were crappy teams dumping salary to other crappy teams back and forth. It wasn't contenders trying to get better. It was Detroit stripping down. It was, you know, Washington getting rid of guys. It was Miami and Phoenix trading players.
So let me ask Chris Lopresti, how do you feel about my circumventing the satellite dishes being out, and I'm now watching LSU Mississippi State?
I think it's a brilliant job on your part.
Do you think I should try to tap into the Warriors Spurs game?
Yeah, you should tap into whatever you can tap into.
And then
man.
I got
very resourceful of you.
I got Nevada and Colorado State. Did you know that Jesus actually lives in Fort Collins?
I was not aware of that.
I saw him there once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I mean, he asked me if I wanted to smoke some weed, which is
and
what
you
they,
said yes, of course.
Well, what
right?
they do in Fort Collins. I mean, it's kind of a hippie town. Let's listen. This is at the student union this evening watching the Rams. They're down 9 to the Wolfpack. Mafia, didn't we go to Reno once and do a gig at the Sierra? What was it called?
Yeah, we did at the
Grand Sierra.
They had the club, they had the driving range, the movie theater, they had everything there.
We drew 8,000 fans there, and then they never had us back. Was our behavior that bad?
Too.
Was there drugs in the show or something? Why didn't we ever get called back there?
Remember we were hanging out with our
strippers?
Boy Uncle Creepy's girlfriend in the club that night?
Yes, that's right. Did I sleep with a UFC fighter's wife? Is that what you're telling me?
You did not, no.
I did
not. You were
very
classy.
But there were chicks that wanted to sleep with me that night in that club.
There were. There always are.
Were they smoking reefer?
Probably.
I remember it was very smoky in there. No one was wearing any clothes.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so we're going to blow out now with Joe Giglio of WIP in Philly. We know him from up here at WFAN and CBS Sports Radio. Certainly, Joe, good to have you on the bench. How's it going, man?
Good, Scott. How you doing, man?
I'm cool, brother. It's great to hear your voice. Let me start by now, I don't know what they, you know, if they did anything tonight, because, I mean, I got in here, all the TVs are out. It's like pouring. There's satellite dish emergencies, everything else. So, like, the Flyers have been on fire. I just wanted to start with them. Can you believe how hot they are? Did they play tonight and win? They didn't play tonight, so the 8 in a row. How about that?
Unbelievable. Carter Hart, man, it's amazing. The Flyers, you know it, haven't had a goalie in forever, and now they got this kid. And when this season started, people said, yeah, he wasn't ready. He's probably not coming up. And then they have the whole thing with, you know, firing Hextall and changing in the front office, and they brought this kid up and 8 in a row, and all of a sudden there's life again with that team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're playing great hockey. It's surprising. I was like, how did that happen? Because I thought they pretty much stunk. Villanova, another win tonight. They had to go to overtime against Creighton. What do you think of the way Jay Wright's turned this team into something?
I'm not surprised. I mean, he does it every year. It's just amazing what he's been able to do. He's the best coach that people always just say is a really good coach, but just kind of leave it there. But yet you look at his resume, you look at year after year, and then you just know they're going to be there in March, and they're going to have a top, you know, close to a top seed, and they're going to be a contender. He's an unbelievable coach.
Yeah, they're 19-4 now. They won 66-59 over Creighton in overtime in Philadelphia. They had 17-5 boards. So what did you think when late night you know, it happened, the Harris deal, and we were here right when we left and got off the air, the deal went down. And what do you think of it? There's a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts. And it really just it cements that they're going for right now. I mean, the Sixers, as we know, man, they went through this process and they wanted to tear it down to build it back up. And the Jimmy Butler trade that happened earlier in the season told everyone here that they were accelerating this thing. It wasn't for the next 3 to 5 years. It was for now. It was for right now. They thought they could make a run. And then it's been okay, but there's a lot of questions about Butler in the long term. And here's how I looked at the trade, Scott. It makes them better for right now. But I also think it's a hedge for them as they go into this summer because they'll have the bird rights to both Butler and Tobias Harris. And they might bring both back, but I think the next few months will let them know if they should bring both back or which one they should bring back next year.
And what do you think they should do? Try to bring them both back. Is the Butler fit comfortable? In other words, everywhere he's been, it seems, and you know it, he's been, you know, kind of miserable. He comes right out with it and says he's not happy, doesn't like the way this team's playing, that team's playing, this guy's playing, that guy playing, always talking about everybody else's problems, if you ask me. Then he goes to Philly. How's he been in Philly?
Yeah, it's the same Jimmy Butler. He got here and he gave a nice introductory speech and how it was different now. And then a month later, he got into a shouting match with head coach Brett Brown in a film session. And then conspicuously, he was just passing up open three after open three for the next couple weeks. He's missed some games with injuries. I'm not a big fan. Look, a couple years ago, he was a tremendous player, probably just on the cusp of the top 10. Here's my worry with him. He's about to be 30 years old. He's had injury issues. We know he's a malcontent. I wouldn't give him the max. I'm not giving him 5-190 after this season. If he wants to come back for good money, 3 years maybe, a kind of max-ish kind of money, then they got to think about it. But I don't think they're married to him, and I think there's a better chance that Tobias Harris is here long-term than Jimmy Butler.
So what do you think? Joe Giglio with us from WIP in Philly, the great sports station in Philadelphia. Do you think, with the pieces that they have, right, that the guys that JoJo, Redick, everyone that's on the team now, like when they had Covington and Saric, do you think they're better with Butler when they were playing with just Butler, and now we don't know how they're going to be with Harris, but Harris can flat out score from anywhere. He can shoot threes. He can shoot from the elbow. He can drive. He can finish. He can run. He can do everything. No one knew how good Harris was like in the East Coast because they're not watching these, you know, midnight games out West that I'm watching and you may be watching late night. I know he can fill it up. I don't think anybody in Philly quite knows how good he is that, you know, they've maybe seen him once or twice, but not every night.
Yeah, he's a real deal. I think this team they have right now is the best they've had in throughout this whole thing here. I mean, this is a talented team, and you mentioned those names there. It's the best starting five outside of Golden State now in the NBA. If you think about it, Simmons, Redick, Harris, Butler, and Joel Embiid, that they have five guys that currently are averaging 17 or more points a game. Now, that might come down, Scott, because, you know, someone might have to take a back seat and not shoot as much because they're all together on the floor now, but most teams can't find that. Five guys that could come close to 20 points on an average per night, they've got that. The depth is an issue now. They're going to need to find maybe one more move tomorrow or get lucky in the buyout market. I know the Knicks might buy out Wes Matthews. He fit really well. So they need a couple more bench pieces, but that starting five is really good.
Did you like Shamet when he was firing away or not really?
I did. He could play. And he was a good shooter in college. He was good for the Sixers. The one thing that's hard about the trade for them is this is basically it. They're out of assets now. They've built up so many assets during Sam Hinkie's time here, just endless amount of draft picks and capital to make deals. But you start adding them up, what they traded to get Markelle Fultz, what they traded to get Jimmy Butler, what they just traded now to get Tobias Harris, and there's very little way for this team to improve the next couple of years. They're going to need to get lucky with draft picks and really cheap guys. So they'll miss Shamet from that perspective.
Joe, when you saw this guy Fultz, what's happened to him, explain it to everybody what a disaster that is and has been.
I mean, it is. The fact that they are where they are, despite that, is a testament to what they've become. But I mean, we're talking about a guy now, Scott, that is on the verge of being one of the biggest busts in NBA history. He just doesn't play basketball. I mean, there are questions about, well, everything around him, but really, more than anything, about, is this an injury? Is this in his head? Does he want to play basketball? It's been almost two seasons now. We've seen him for a handful of games. He has shown very little ability to do anything he did in college. It's almost like he just forgot the player he was. And last night, head coach Brett Brown was asked, you know, could he come back? Could he contribute this year? And he was almost dumbfounded at the question and basically said, I have no idea. I mean, I can't tell you what's going to happen here. I mean, he seems like he's nowhere close to playing competitive basketball, and we're going to be 2 years into his tenure in the NBA.
So Joe Giglio with us from WIP in Philly. Now that they have this loaded lineup and everything, in reality, how do you think they're going to do with the heavies, and they're one of them, in the Eastern Conference? Bottom line is, they didn't get this guy to not, go to the Eastern Conference Finals and try to make the NBA Finals, because the game I saw them play at Oracle against the Warriors, they looked amazing. And if they had this guy, do you think they could get there?
I think they can get to the NBA Finals. I think they have enough now. I think the next couple weeks in the buyout market is going to be a big thing, because their depth is really bad right now. It's five starters, and it's a bench that just it will lose in the playoffs if they have to play those guys some minutes. So I think they need a couple more pieces, but they're good enough to get to the NBA Finals right now, and I think that makes all these moves worth it.
So, Joe, tell me about where the Phillies are when it comes to landing one of these big fish like, Machado and Harper. And what do you think when you see this guy, like now he's talking to the Giants and everything else, do you feel like he's slipping through your fingers?
Scott, this is fascinating. We've been talking about this now for months, and everyone keeps coming back to no one thinks anyone's actually going to outbid the Phillies. And this is the way I read it. I don't think they really have a preference. I think they're playing these guys against each other and knowing that they're going to get the better deal, whichever one that is. And, you know, whether they look at Machado as like an 8.5 out of a 10 or Harper as an 8, I don't think they really think it's that much of a difference. So if they can get one for 240, let's say, and the other one wants 300, I think they'll just sign the one that wants 240. So as long as both guys are out there, they play them against each other. The only shock for me would be if they don't get either. But I don't know which one that they're going to get.
So what happens if they don't get either? What do the Phillies look like?
A decent team, 84, 85 win team, not good enough for the playoffs. And more than that, Scott, they're going to have a very frustrated and angry fan base that's been waiting now. That's 7 years since their last winning season. This front office got in charge 3 years ago. And in many ways, they kind of earmarked 2019 as the year. They never said it, but they kind of alluded to, we're building this, we're going to slow play like the Cubs did, the Astros, but just wait, 2018, 2019, you're going to see. And then their owner came out in November and said they're going to spend stupid money this offseason. Well, they've improved a little. Andrew McCutchen's a good player. David Robertson, you guys know from all his time with the Yankees, still a good reliever. Gene Segura, good shortstop, but that's not what people thought when they said stupid money. They have to get one of these guys to save face.
Joe Giglio with us, a great host in Philly on WIP, used to work with us up here at The Fan in New York. Tell me about the Foles situation. He pays him a $2 million buyout to the Eagles. They voided the $20 million option. What's the bottom line, and where do you think he's going? And did you like – obviously, you had to love him. He wins you a Super Bowl and an MVP. And what do you think of the whole thing with Wentz and everybody saying he's selfish and all this chaos in Philly that it just seems improbable after they just won the Super Bowl a year ago?
It's crazy. It's amazing how things have changed so quickly. Just the way the town, the tenor to these two quarterbacks. Like a year ago, you know, Foles comes in, he wins the Super Bowl. Wentz coming off the ACL. Not one person last year, to me or anyone else, said, you know, I think Foles might be the better option. Nobody, even though he was coming off the knee and it was just assumed he comes back, he's the guy. And then this year happened and it changed. It changed significantly. I would say the town is 60-40 towards Wentz still, but it was 100-0 a year ago. So that's the way the town has changed. As far as the way this whole thing plays out, I think the best thing for now, Scott, is if the Eagles put the franchise tag on Nick Foles, and there's a report today that they're afraid he's going to land in the division. So I think there's a chance they franchise him just to make sure he doesn't go to a rival and beat them.
And who would that be? Washington with their problems or with the Giants because they're done with Eli?
It could be both. I mean, I think the Giants would scare the Eagles more just because of the weapons they have. And you put Foles there and the funny part about Foles is it's just hard to gauge what he is now. If he's the guy that we've seen for the last 2 years, when you add up all his numbers, pretty good. Is this Rich Gannon 2.0, a guy hits 30 years old and he just figures it out? Or is it just he was lightning in a bottle a couple times? I don't think any of us really know, but I think the Eagles don't want him in the division if he is Rich Gannon 2.0 or something to that effect.
Were you surprised that they did as well as they did, that they even got in, then beat the Bears at the end? You see Parker miss the field goal, and then they go and lose to the Saints. Were you surprised they did it?
I was surprised when they left Dallas, when they lost that game in December, and when Wentz was really bad that game, and then we found out the back injury had happened and he was going to be out. But then Foles came in, and Scott, there was something about Nick Foles the last couple of years where the team rallied around him. It goes back to the story you talked about with the story painting Wentz is selfish and some anonymous quotes. There's something about Nick Foles here that these players rally around him, and he really runs this offense well. So, you know, this controversy we've had here, it's probably not going away, because unless Wentz bounces back to an MVP level next year, I could already hear the conversation, you know, the what if, and what if they kept Foles, and which quarterback really was the best one for this team moving forward.
Do you think they're going to regret it, Joe?
I think there's a good chance they do. But you think about it, Carson Wentz is really talented. He was the number two pick in the draft. His second year was MVP caliber, Scott. But we're talking now, you go back to his college days at North Dakota. He had a stress fracture in his back there. His rookie year, he had a broken rib. Second year, tears his ACL and LCL. And then last year, another stress fracture in his back. He's 26 years old. He's played one full season. He's had one great stretch. I understand there's upside there, but I would not be shocked at all if in a year from now, you know, Foles is playing pretty well somewhere and Wentz is banged up again, and we're saying ourselves, they let the Super Bowl MVP go for this off-injured quarterback.
Hey, Joe, great stuff tonight. Fantastic. Good catching up, man. I'm glad you're doing so well in Philly, brother. We're always rooting for you.
Appreciate it, Scott. Take care, man.
All right, Joe Giglio at WIP in Philly, giving us the entire landscape of everything going on in Philadelphia. Mafia, real quick, I got 30 seconds. Do you think they'll regret the Foles decisions that they're making?
I don't, because I know Wentz has been injured and banged up. I think Foles is solid, but I think he's a guy that a couple games can win. Give him a full season, eventually he's going to start falling apart.
Carver High, what do you think?
I think short term they will, long term they will not.
Where do you think he's going to go? Do you think he's going to, like, do you think Washington, because of their problems right now, would go for it?
They're going to franchise him and control him. They're not going to trade him in the division.
Oh, so they'll just make sure he goes somewhere else. They're not, so in other words, they're not stupid. All right, there you go. Good having Joe on, Joe Giglio of WIP. All right, it's Pharrell on the Bench, 855-212-4CBS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.